You're listening to an NFL Draft edition of The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Boss and The Gloss on Sports Map Radio. Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. Ryan, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. You know, the last time I saw you, I think it was Radio Row in Los Angeles, and we were at one of those all-you-can-eat steak places, and there must have been 12 of us at the table, and I think you won the award for the most beef consumed that night.
Hey, you know, you got to be careful when you take me to an all-you-can-eat kind of protein buffet. That's begging for a beating.
Hey, listen, it was the only dinner I could afford when I had you at the table. And all you can eat was a pretty good bargain. I think we got our money's worth that night with you.
He's got a lot of real estate to fill up.
Yeah, well, me and my wife appreciate us, you having us and enjoying that time during the Super Bowl. It was a lot of fun to see you and everybody involved with Gow Media.
Indeed it was. And now it's fun to be in Vegas talking NFL draft. And one of the notable things, of course, last night was only one quarterback taken in the first round, and that was not until, I think, about number 20 overall, with Pickett going to the Steelers. As an NFL quarterback, a guy who knows the position very well, how do you evaluate this class, and were you surprised that there was just one name taken in the first round?
I wasn't surprised. I was worried that some teams would panic, and they would impulsively move up and reach for a quarterback because they feared missing out on, you know, changing their future, changing what quarterbacks can do in the NFL. And so I was reassured by the patience of these teams and taking the players that they need, the most talented players that they need at other positions. And you know, Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily need a quarterback right away, but they feel like Kenny Pickett could be the next guy to in line for Ben Roethlisberger. It reminds me a lot of what the San Diego Chargers did when they had Drew Brees and then gradually allowed him to leave with free agency and moved on to Phillip Rivers. I could see that happening with Mitchell Trubisky handing the keys to the car to Kenny Pickett down the line. And then I expect probably a few teams either to find a way to move up tonight, or if the Seahawks sitting there right around 40 and 41 could make a move for the next quarterback in line, which I think will be Malik Willis.
Ryan, it's great to have you in, and you've been doing a great job filling in for Rich Eisen's show as the lead host. So tell Rich he better get back quick or he's going to be out of a job.
Well, I appreciate that. It's really kind of Rich, you know, when he has to go do work for the NFL Network around the NFL draft and the combine and things like that, that he reaches out. It's a wonderful platform. We had an amazing show today. I got Peyton Manning to come on. You know, our draft was 24 years ago, and so we had a good chat about all that, everything he's up to, and just kind of the friendship that evolved over time with him and me. And like I said, 25 years later, we're now, you know, in the broadcasting world, retired football players and dads. So it's kind of come full circle.
Well, that's a good place to be. Let me ask you, Ryan, about your former team, the state of the Chargers. They were quiet last night, you know, with their one pick. Do they really have any needs? I mean, I'm sitting here as a Raider fan. Just in that Raiders-Chargers game that sent the Raiders to the playoffs and sent the Chargers home was probably the best game I saw all of last season. And seeing Justin Herbert convert on how many fourth and longs, I literally was watching that game with my mouth wide open. What needs to happen with the Chargers, if anything? Do they have needs? What do you see going forward with this team?
Well, I will say this. I was in London at the time working for Sky Sports NFL, and so that game kicked off at 1:25 a.m. So it was about 4:45, 5 a.m. when I'm watching that overtime play out, and I was just so in awe of Justin Herbert and his ability. I could argue that he may be the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's just a matter of whether or not his young coach Brandon Staley can not get in the way. Right? He made some some bad mistakes down the road. They had the Kansas City Chiefs game won late in the year, and then the decision to call the timeout late probably persuaded the Raiders to continue on and go. They could have gotten into the playoffs. And I tell you right now, with the way the playoffs went, the Chargers were as capable as anybody to get themselves to the Super Bowl, especially in the AFC. So they're in a good place, and I like the guy they got, another guy to protect Justin Herbert. They have the wide receiver Mike Williams back. They need to add some defensive pieces, but I really like where they're going.
Yeah, they took Zion Johnson last night, right, in the interior guard position. I mean, that's a nice way to fortify the line for Justin Herbert. I will tell you, the other day I saw highlights of John Elway playing, and I looked at him and I thought, that looks like Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. I mean, the strong arm, the size, the mobility, it's quite a comparable.
It is. You're exactly right. It's very comparable, and you know, sometimes it's kind of a copycat league. You know, if you find something that works, you tend to try to replicate that. It's always happened. It's been that way for forever in the NFL, and here's just another example of that.
So one other hot topic yesterday, by the way, joining us now is Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. I want to ask you about the wide receiver class. Six guys taken last night in the first 20 picks, an extraordinary group of wide receivers. Who stands out to you? Who do you really like in that group?
I like Drake London. I got to, you know, I covered him constantly in the Pac-12, and he's a special player. Clearly the Atlanta Falcons saw that, you know, a guy who was injured, a guy who wasn't able to still run his 40. They still, you know, pulled the trigger on that pick at 8. And then the onslaught of what came next, right? You went the back-to-back guys from Ohio State, and then Jameson Williams with Detroit moving up to get him, Treylon Burks to take over for A.J. Brown, like we talked about. And it's imperative because of what teams are doing. There are certain teams that have told you they'll pay and break the bank for a wide receiver, and there are certain teams that have told you, we will not. And Tennessee last night said, we will not pay that price tag. We will go get one with a fifth-year option. Look at it this way. A.J. Brown's going to make $25 million a year over the next 4 years. Treylon Burks, over the next 4 years combined, will make $15 million. If they can develop them, that's what it is. And you find out which teams are willing to do it. I am not of the mindset that you go pay wide receivers. You pay quarterbacks, you pay guys that protect the quarterback, and you pay guys that rush the quarterback. That's what changes football games. If you don't have a quarterback to get to the ball to the great wide receiver, that wide receiver just kind of rots on a vine. So it's imperative that you have the guys in place. And when you have Hall of Fame type quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, you let Tyreek Hill, you let Davante Adams go and spread their wings because you know your quarterbacks can make other players better.
Ryan, you mentioned Drake London out of USC as the first receiver taken. A couple other Pac-12 guys, Devin Lloyd in Utah, went in the first round. Trent McDuffie out of Washington. What do you think of the Pac-12? They've definitely had some down years, and I know you cover them intimately. You're an alum of Washington State. Who do you like going forward? And are we going to have, you know, some more competitiveness in the Pac-12 going forward?
Well, I think it's an incredibly competitive league. It probably may be the most competitive league in all of college football. As of right
within
now,
its conference,
Yeah, we just don't have an elite team, right? And Lincoln Riley coming to town, changing the atmosphere and the landscape, I think, is going to make a big difference at Southern California. I think Dan Lanning leaving the SEC, taking a job on the opposite coast, going to have to recruit and build Oregon, which has been a team that's been in the mix. So I think they're just fine. I think that people like to overreact when you're mm-hmm. absent from the college football playoffs, simply because that is the end-all, be-all every single year. But, you know, the University of Oregon has presented 3 first-round draft picks in the top 10 over the last 3 years, right? Justin Herbert, Penei Sewell, and then last night, Kayvon Thibodeau at number 5. I really think Kayvon could have been the number 1 overall pick over Trayvon Walker. So I think we'll be just fine. They got some really cool games next year in terms of crossover conference games where they have to showcase and win. Georgia and Oregon play in week 1. Washington State goes out to Madison, Wisconsin in week 2. There are a lot of games like that really can, I think week 1 Florida and Utah playing. I think Utah's going to be extremely good next year once again. So they have a real opportunity to plant their flag next year with some of these non-conference battles.
We're joined here by Ryan Leaf, and now we've delved into college football. So I have to ask you about the fate of college football with NIL, transfer portal. Are we entering a new era where there's almost a free agency in football? And what's the prognosis for the conferences in the league?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, when you got the best of the best out there, and like Nick Saban talking about how this could get so out of hand that it could really be detrimental to college football, that you have to take notice. The NCAA absolutely blew this. Mark Emmert fought tooth and nail to try to keep this away, going all the way to the Supreme Court and got their butts kicked and did no due diligence around how to make it work. So they just opened it up as a free-for-all, and as we've seen, it's become an arms race. And so I don't know. I know that the product on the field a year ago didn't change. It was great. It was good, solid football, well-coached, well-played. So I don't anticipate that. What I do anticipate is that there are teams that are going to be able to throw more money at it. We just heard that Oklahoma is going to be able to pay every single scholarship athlete on the football team $50,000, where I heard my alma mater is somewhere around the $6,000 area for NIL. So, I mean, that is a huge difference. If you're a recruit, as simple as something like that could change your mind. And
it's going to be a wild west, no question. Hey, Ryan, we got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. You guys have a great rest of the week and weekend.
Take care.